Today's reading reminds us how Jesus helps us as he faced and overcame temptation. Our Bible reading is from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell us these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Elila, for sharing God's word tonight. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, Jesus, the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts today. Amen. Please be seated. This time I'll keep you seated for a while. It's okay, all right. In our fall sermon series, our word for today is falling into temptation. But our hope is that we do not fall into temptation. You know, Jesus knew that we would be tempted. Being incarnational and in the flesh, Jesus experienced the same struggles that you and I face every day of our lives. Temptation is a part of this sinful, broken world in which we live. And there are times that I think we take it to the extreme. We kind of tempt temptation, kind of like playing over a snake's den and thinking that we won't get bit. It's like the father who warned his son not to go swimming in a nearby canal. "Okay, Dad," he answered. But later that evening, he came home carrying a wet bathing suit. "Where have you been?" demanded his father. "Swimming in the canal," answered the boy. "Didn't I tell you not to swim there?" asked the father. "Yes, sir," answered the boy. "Why did you?" "Well, Daddy," explained, "I had my bathing suit with me, and I couldn't resist temptation." "Well, why did you take your bathing suit with you?" "So I'd be prepared to swim in case I was tempted," the boy said. Well, right, we are reckless at times, are we not? We're a danger to ourselves. Yeah, we can blame our sin on the devil. We can blame it on the world. We can even blame it on other people who entice us to fall into temptation. But the truth is, you and I don't need any help. Left on our own, we get into enough trouble by ourselves, do we not? Jesus knows this. It's why he included in that powerful prayer that he taught us to pray that sixth petition, "And lead us not into temptation." Jesus is aware that we need help to overcome temptation. And so he equips us with a prayer to deliver us from temptation. And Jesus can offer this prayer because he himself faced and overcame temptation, as we just heard from our Bible reading a few moments ago from Matthew chapter 4. As we look at that particular passage, verse 1 begins with Jesus being led in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, some Bible translations, if you were to look that passage up, would say tested instead of tempted. The Greek word here is peirazo. It can mean either a temptation or a test. So it begs us to ask the question, what's the difference between a test and a temptation? One of the commentaries put it this way, and I liked how it said it. When God is the agent, peirazo is for the purpose of proving someone, never for the purpose of causing them to fall. If it's the devil who tempts us, then it is for the purpose of causing us to fall into sin and to turn away from God. In this context, that word is best translated as temptation. Verse 3 even uses that same word, ho peirazon, to give us another name for the devil. It says the tempter. That's a very descriptive word of what's going on here and who's doing the tempting. So the language is very clear that it's the devil. He was the one tempting Jesus. And for what purpose? Well, he knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus came to do. And the devil used every power and persuasion that he had to try and get Jesus to turn away from God's plan. This, as you read through the Gospels, is only the first of tests that Jesus would face throughout his whole earthly ministry. Now, I'm going to date myself here just a little bit, but some of you remember the old variety comedy show, Hee-Haw, right? Who remembers that show? Yeah, I got a good crowd tonight. Most of you remember that. Well, you remember Doc Campbell. One episode, Doc Campbell is confronted by a patient who says that he broke his arm in two places. You know what I'm going to say next, don't you, right? The doc replies, well, then stay out of them places. That's great advice when it comes to temptation. A big part of avoiding temptation is avoiding those places where you and I will be tempted. There are times, however, when we can't avoid temptation and we must face it head on. How then do we respond to temptation? Well, Jesus gives us a model in our text tonight because he was faced with some very powerful temptations. Let's look at the example that Jesus sets for us. In both Matthew and Luke's Gospels, the temptation of Jesus by the devil occurs right after Jesus is baptized, right as he begins his earthly ministry. We're told that he spends some time in the wilderness to begin with, fasting and praying, intentionally focusing on God and God's mission and God's plan for him. It's at the end of that time, that 40-day period of fasting, that the devil then comes, when Jesus is physically at a weak point. And so it makes sense that the first temptation strikes right at that weakness by tempting Jesus to turn stones into bread, to sate his ravenous hunger after not eating for all of that time. You know, hunger is a powerful motivator for a lot of us, is it not? That's why it's so hard for us to eat healthy and go on a diet. Perhaps I'm reading too much into this temptation, but I've always believed also that the greater temptation for Jesus here was not just for his own physical hunger, but if he could turn stones into bread, then he could feed the world forever, and no person would ever have to go hungry. Now that is a powerful temptation. Well, let's look at how Jesus responds. He begins by quoting Scripture. And not just any scripture. Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, from the law, from the Torah, the heart of the Old Testament for the Jewish people. And I love what Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. By using those words, Jesus remains obedient to God's word. And sure, hunger is a very important thing here. I mean, people have to eat, right, to survive. But hunger for God's word is even more important when it comes to our salvation. Food will fill our tummies for a time, and then we get hungry again. My wife said at lunchtime today, she says, I'm starving. I've got to eat something. Well, we all know she wasn't literally starving, but she was hungry. Well, God's word fills our spiritual hunger, and that helps us to remain obedient to God as we grow in our faith. The second temptation that Jesus faces has to do with trusting in God. The devil takes Jesus to that highest point on the temple and told him to throw himself down. This time, the devil gets smart, right? He says, well, Jesus used Scripture. I'm going to use Scripture to combat him. And he quotes Psalm 91 to attempt to get Jesus to put himself in harm's way, saying that God's angels would not let any harm come to him should he choose to throw himself down from that height. Well, not only is this a temptation for Jesus, but the devil is putting God's own word to the test. But Jesus, again, uses a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 16 to thwart the devil's plans. Do not put the Lord your God to the test, he said. Reminds me of Proverbs 3, 5, that wonderful saying where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, this is especially hard for us at times because I think a lot of us would rather trust our own abilities, our own wisdom, than fully relying upon God. That's just kind of human nature, is it not? And yet Jesus, we know, would go to put his own life into God's hands as he went to that cross to die for each and every one of us so that we might be saved. The third temptation that Jesus faces has to do with remaining faithful to God's plan. The devil, the great tempter, the great deceiver here, takes Jesus on a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world, all their splendor and glory, and he says, I will give you all of these if you just bow down and worship me. It's almost as if Satan is telling Jesus, look, you came as king to inherit the nations. Well, here they are. Why go through all the trouble of being that suffering servant? Why go to the cross to get the crown? There's an easier way, is what the devil's saying to Jesus. Just give me one moment of homage. Just bow down to me just for a moment, and I'll abdicate. I'll give it all over to you. Well, that's false worship. The prince of liars himself believes that he has all power and authority over all the kingdoms of the world. Of course, when you and I look at the political climate in our own country or even around in other nations of the world, we kind of are inclined to believe that, aren't we not? But Isaiah 42, verse 5 reminds us, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. You see, God created the heavens and the earth, and God's still in charge. Jesus knew that, and he answered the devil appropriately, again, leaning on God's word in Deuteronomy chapter 6 about worshiping the Lord exclusively and serving only God. In this basic first commandment language, you shall have no other gods before me. This is not just a series of temptations. Rather, it's a battle between good and evil. And Jesus, by obeying, trusting, and worshiping God and God alone, wins a significant spiritual victory over his enemy. When you and I are tempted, it's a spiritual matter, a spiritual battle, if you will. Oh yeah, it may involve flesh and blood and physical things. But the battle, the real battle, is over our souls and over our eternal life. What we learn today in Jesus' victory here and his ultimate victory over sin, death, and the devil when he went to the cross and rose again is that we have power in Jesus' name. You see, Jesus delivers us from temptation. Does that mean that we no longer sin or we're no longer tempted? No. We will face temptation all of our lives, just as Jesus did. In fact, the last temptation of Jesus was probably one of the greatest temptations that he faced. As he was praying there in the Garden of Gethsemane, about to be arrested, put on trial, and crucified on a cross. So in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, we hear Jesus' prayer to God, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." In the midst of that prayer, Jesus knew what he must do. And yet there was that one last temptation to walk away from it all, to walk away from God's purpose and plan, to walk away from death and the cross. But Jesus was strengthened in that prayer. And he prayed for God, for God's help, for God's strength, to do what God had called him to come and do. I want you to know that Jesus also prays for us. And Jesus offers us help. And I want every person here to know that there's no temptation so great that we cannot overcome it with Jesus' help. We must turn to him. We must seek him. We must call upon that powerful name of Jesus when we're facing whatever temptation it is that comes upon us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, St. Paul shares these powerful words. He says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your own ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So first of all, Paul gives us a warning about not trying to handle things by ourselves, because we can't. We're going to fall. We'll fail. Secondly, he reminds us, and I love those words, that God provides a means of escape for us from temptation. For me, prayer is one of the most powerful weapons that we have against temptation, and God's word is the next most powerful weapon that you and I possess. And then we have that high priestly prayer that Jesus prays in John chapter 17 as he prays for himself, his disciples, and for his church, and that includes us today. In verse 15 of that 17th chapter of John, Jesus prays this. Listen to these words. He says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Wow. I think we underestimate those words and the power of those words. Folks, Jesus is praying for us. Do you get that? I mean, we pray for ourselves. We pray for others. We know how powerful those prayers can be at times. But think about it. Jesus is praying for us here. And if Jesus is praying for us, then nothing can stand in the way of that prayer. There's power in that prayer. There's power in the name of Jesus to overcome sin and temptation and to bring healing and hope to our world today. I want to encourage each and every one of us to make use of prayer and of reading God's word on a regular basis. These are two of the very most powerful tools that he's given us to overcome and combat temptation. So may we go to God daily in prayer. May we read God's word daily. May we worship regularly so that we do not fall into temptation. Amen.